The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
I'm really concerned about Donald Trump's mental acuity. I'm not sure he's all there. Shouldn't we be concerned that maybe he's too old to be running for president?
You know, I think it's time for Grandpa Donald's caregivers at Mar-a-Lago to, get Grandpa to bed earlier at night and make sure he's getting his insurer every day, because that is a man who is not capable of being president of the United States of America.
I mean, I think to some degree, Democrats, not the vice president or Governor Walz, but the Democratic apparatus should really start raising this question. Is Donald Trump okay? Start to question whether or not mentally he's all there. I mean,
there's something organic that is happening around the Biden, the Harris-Walz campaign, around the Harris campaign, and then with the addition of Tim Walz.
Yeah, I think it's a really good campaign and people really like her. She's gotten to be a really gifted Obama-level orator. And, you know, she was very much underestimated by the mainstream media. And
but the fact of the matter is that Donald Trump and the Republican Party are really creepy, weird, and they are not above stealing elections. They're not above lying. They're not above cheating.
I mean, Tim Walz is the epitome of the Midwestern dad. You know, you could put him at any state fair on any main street and certainly in any Friday night football game in rural Kansas, and he would fit right in.
This incredible leader, this incredible woman has brought to this fight. She has brought back compassion and decency and humor and joy.
I was working on that last night and I was getting angrier at it. I was like, they're just trying to rile people up. They're just saying dumb things to try to make me angry. And then I watched it again this morning and I couldn't stop laughing at them. I couldn't stop laughing. I mean, it's laughable if it weren't so serious. I mean, honestly, for them, I think we're in year 10 of the Trump era. If you count 2015, and for that MSNBC to say Dems should start questioning Trump's mental health, as if this is just totally a new talking point. They're so smart. These strategists. Let's bring this up again as if we haven't done it before. What was the comment? Oh, Republicans are not above stealing elections. The Molly Jong Fast girl. Kamala Harris is a really gifted Obama-level orator. That might be the only comment in there that does have some truth to it, because neither of them are very good at speaking. Obama has the pausing. Kamala has the, I don't know how you would describe what she has. There's the cackle and then there's the word salads. Word salads might be too generous at this point. Tim Walz, this is the part that makes me laugh more than anything, is Kamala Harris has brought back compassion, decency, humor, and joy. And I cut off the montage before he could finish it, but he says, brought back humor and joy to our politics. How is that dropping with the focus groups? What do you guys want to hear? We just want joy in our politics. When has that ever been a word that you would use to describe politics? These are the scummiest people on the planet. This is one of the most corrupt industries in the world, politics. I just want more joy. When has there ever been joy in that industry? There is a degree of that. I will admit, in 2016, when Donald Trump won, seeing the faces of Ben Rhodes, Samantha Power, Valerie Jarrett, that brought a little bit of joy to my face. There was some joy in seeing that, seeing the deep state get exposed, seeing all of these arrogant leaders lose going into that so confidently. That montage, again, just how they lie. They will say anything they have to. America under attack. Mr. Gerald Flurry says, lying is the modus operandi of these Obama-era officials. They lie as a way of life. That's what I just want to cover in this first half of today's show. They lie as a way of life. You've got Kamala Harris. She's the incumbent. She's acting as though she's a fresh face. This is going to be a new administration. She's been there for 4 years with the fake administration. They're in power, whether they've earned it legitimately or not. You cannot believe anything this regime media tells you. The Kamala headquarters Twitter account, they're routinely posting pictures of Trump rallies, and they take a picture of the dead space in the stadium 3 hours before the event starts and says, nobody's showing up. I mean, they lie as a way of life. That is what they do. That program on Friday, the team that brought you Basement Biden now brings you Camelot. Rumble promoted that show. It's got 85,000 views for us. But these are the same people. I mean, you have to remember that when you watch everything. Everything for 3.5 years, Joe Biden is fine, even though you could see he clearly wasn't. These are the people that for 3.5 years said he's fine. Then one day they all flip and they're all in total unison. And they're all against Joe Biden. And then 2 weeks later, it's a new day. It's a new dawn. Kamala Harris is here. She's on the cover of Time. And it's like exactly the same cover that they would do for Obama in 2008, where it's the discolored face and it looks like the regime communist posters. Welcome to the show, by the way. I forgot to greet everybody. You're listening to The Trumpet Daily. I am Sam Livingston, your guest host for today's show. We're pre-recording this just a couple hours in advance. Today is the first day of Armstrong College. The students will be in their orientation lectures, and Mr. Stephen Flurry has one of those this morning. So I'm pre-recording the show just a couple hours in advance. If you have any comments for the show, send those to td@thetrumpet.com. Okay, again, Biden is fine. Then they flip. Kamala Harris is suddenly the new anointed one there. But where is she? We've covered this. She's at those rallies, and she's you're seeing her a lot, but no one will talk to her. The media are totally fine without her speaking. This is the Washington Examiner. Joy. Irrational exuberance soars to new levels. This is, I think, is by Byron York. One courageous journalist, this is after talking about how they've avoided the press for so long. I think it's been, 22, 23 days since they made her the candidate, undemocratically, by the way. The people didn't get a say in any of that. One courageous journalist did finally say to Kamala Harris, Madam Vice President, there's been a lot of questions about when you're going to do a sit-down for your first interview since being the nominee. Do you have an update on that? Harris answered, I've talked to my team. I want us to get an interview scheduled before the end of the month. This was a couple days ago, the start of August. I want us to get one interview scheduled before the end of the month. Donald Trump, I mean, the media are saying, where's Donald Trump? Where's Trump? If you're Donald Trump, honestly, I would just let this kind of play out a little bit. What are they doing with Kamala? And I think that is part of it. Just stay quiet and see what they're doing. But he's doing interviews. He's talking. He did that press conference for, I think it was like 2 hours the other day at Mar-a-Lago. Today he's doing something with Elon Musk on Twitter. We'll give you one interview before the end of the month. And if you're lucky, you might get one more before the election. This is a headline at The Guardian. Democrats' joy is unconfined as Harris and Walz take upbeat message on tour. It's an upbeat message. Just play that hip-hop music. Let Tim Walz come out there. Talk about weird. Find if I wish I would have grabbed it, but the clip of Tim Walz walking on stage, I think this was in Phoenix. You can find it on your own time. He's like, literally, we talk about the media being like clapping seals. He walks out there like a clapping seal. And he's jumping around and he's waving at everybody and he gets up to the microphone and then he screams into it and then he's got the we're going to bring back joy. You're going to be happy whether you like it or not. It was bizarre. It was weird. A little digression there. Washington Post, this is from Fareed Zakaria. He writes, Harris is winning the all-important battle of vibes. That's the way people talk now. It's the vibe has changed. There's an aura about Kamala that we put there. Never mind that she's the incumbent. Never mind that she's stealing now Donald Trump's platforms on a lot of things. Donald Trump was the big, we're not gonna tax tips. Kamala's the one that signed that IRS bill that permitted the IRS to start going after tips. And now she's coming out and saying, well, we're not gonna tax tips. And then talk about being disconnected for them to say, this is the campaign of joy. There's a vibe change. These are the incumbents. And look at the economy. Look at how people are struggling. And they just act like it's not there. Just bring out the dancers, play that rap music for everybody. We'll distract them. I mean, it's so Orwellian. Just distract, well, that might not be Orwell. That's more like, what's that other book? Brave New World. Just distract them with the entertainment. Bring on, the pop stars. Get them obsessed with sports. And meanwhile, we'll just take over the country. Everybody's going to be so distracted. I mean, that's what these rallies are. Time magazine. The reintroduction of Kamala Harris. The soundtrack suggested a Beyoncé concert. The light-up bracelets evoked the Eras tour, and the exuberant crowd, more than 14,000 strong, lining up in the rain, resembled the early days of Barack Obama. Inside a Philadelphia arena on August 6, Vice President Kamala Harris was greeted with the kind of reception a Democratic presidential candidate hasn't gotten in years. That's because they haven't had to campaign in years. There's COVID, and then they crammed Joe Biden in the basement. Here we are. Vice President Kamala. Oh, there we are. Fans packed into overflow spaces, waving homemade signs made of glitter and glues as drum lines roared. This is Time Magazine. These are like all of the wokies have come out. All of those really sheltered Democrats that were too scared to come out because of COVID. They've come out with their glitter and glue posters for Kamala. When Harris introduced her new running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, the cheering lasted more than a minute. If you'd predicted this scene a month ago to anyone following the race, they would never have believed you. But Harris has pulled off the swiftest vibe shift in modern political history. Nicole Wallace said, she's perfect. She hasn't made a mistake. And she might never make a mistake. She said that a few seconds later in that montage we played last week. You think about Kamala's rallies, and she's hitting the big blue cities. There are millions of Democrats. That I will give them that. It's not like this country is 100% behind Donald Trump. There are millions of Democrats, and most of them are in dark blue cities. And of course, that's where Kamala's going to go. So she goes there, she brings in the dancers, she brings in the pop stars, and she's got a big crowd. But you contrast that with where Donald Trump goes. I was thinking about, again, the Butler rally. Not Butler 2024 when he got shot. Butler in 2020, in October, in rural Pennsylvania, it's cold. October of 2020, and this is not long. This is probably still COVID restrictions at that point. It was going to be a super spreader. Every time Trump went out, it was a super spreader event. Don't forget that in 2020. And he had 15 to 20,000 people fill up that airfield in the middle of nowhere. He could just go out into a field and pull in crowds like that. You have to just remember how twisted, how loyal the media is to their precious narrative, and that's all that matters. For that moment, for that day after that debate, when they were all turning on Biden, there is this moment of, wow, maybe they are rash, maybe they're sentient, maybe they can think for themselves. And then quickly, no, it doesn't make sense that they would all suddenly be so comfortable to say the same thing at the same time. And it was dump Joe Biden, and we've got to move on to the next thing. And you think about the polling too at the same time. A lot of the polls showed Trump in a powerful position. And how much of that was just part of the game plan? We've got to use that to push Biden out. And then as soon as Biden's gone, Kamala's back to being super popular, or Kamala's now super popular the first time ever in her career. And Donald Trump's back to being Hitler again. They just perhaps manipulate the polls now. I say perhaps. They manipulate the polls to get what they want. I mean, we're living in such a curated and manufactured world, and it's amazing how powerful those just 20 voices are on the news, on MSNBC, on CNN, quite frankly, on Fox, and how if they just change their tone, they can make it sound like they've got the whole nation behind them when they're just making it up. They can use that to intimidate you. They can use that to make you feel like you're the only one who thinks contrary to the way they do. I wanted to play this clip. This is from Joe Biden. He's giving more interviews than Kamala is. He's sitting down. And by the way, let's not forget, he's the fake president. He's the one still in power for another 6 months. And it's like, he's gone. Nobody cares. Nobody's paying any attention. It's all Kamala and the vibe shift. Never mind what Joe Biden is out there saying, or what he isn't saying, or what he isn't doing. I wanted to play this clip because they talk about, we're not even a month removed from the assassination attempt, and they're talking about dialing it down. And then listen to what Joe Biden says in this interview. I think this was with ABC, CBS, clip one.
I give you my word, I think of that. I mark my words. If he wins this nomination, this election, watch what happens. It's a danger. He's a genuine danger to American security.
Tamping down the language. A genuine danger to American security. Well, what are you supposed to do when you hear something like that? Neutralize the threat. Later on in that interview, again, listen to this other clip from Biden, clip two.
To those who have expressed skepticism about how much you'll be on the trail or about the rest of your term, raise questions about your health, what do you say to them?
All I can say is watch, that's all. Look, I had a really, really bad day in that debate because I was sick. But I have no serious problem.
Watch. They all watched and they didn't like it. We've all been watching. We all see it. And then he gets out there and it was just one bad night. They can't stop. They can't admit the truth. I mean, that's all politicians. That's why there's no joy in politics. As Tim Walz says, Kamala is bringing back. Bring back the joy. What? I cannot get over that comment. What was the other thing? Compassion, decency, humor, and joy to politics. All right, where am I in my notes? I'm sorry, I'm kind of jumbled around here. Oh, I had to talk about the election interference. It's back, 2016. We had Russia interfering in the election, right? And Donald Trump is illegitimate because Russia interfered on his behalf. Well, apparently the Trump campaign was hacked, and it sounds like it was by Iranian hackers. And there's a big data leak. It was a phishing email that one of their campaign managers opened, and they managed to get all of these files. And Chris Krebs is out there over the weekend, says, yeah, it looks like Russia and the Iranians are working together. It's sort of the same playbook. I mean, I don't know how much of that to believe. You can't believe anything those guys say. Perhaps the CIA working there, helping them out. But that story struck me because I just thought, well, where's Jake Sullivan and well, what's her name? Jen Palmieri running around on the golf carts. Remember that? Right when the hack happened at the DNC, they hop on the golf carts and they run over the MSNBC tent and the CNN tent. The Russians did it. This is definitely the Russian. Putin. Trump is Putin's puppet. And MSNBC and CNN is like, what are you talking about? I mean, they had that strategy out there from day one. The media, to their credit, waited a couple of days before they started parroting the line. But it was, we're under attack. The election, the Russians, and the media won't say anything. Now, well, why would the Iranians and the Russians want to do this to Donald Trump? Why would they sabotage his campaign? Could it be that they're pro-Clinton or pro-Kamala? Or pro Obama? The new Kamala campaign. It's the same old Obama regime. I mean, the way those joyful politicians function, they're like a virus or just some sort of cancer. It just metastasizes. It destroys one host and then it moves on to the next. They're done with Biden. They used him for what they could get out of him. And now once he's not useful to them, they move right along. They're not worried a bit about what they did to that man. And now they're in the Kamala Harris campaign. This is the Washington Post. Harris hires Obama campaign veterans to join 2024 effort, replacing Biden loyalists. You wouldn't recognize these names. I won't take the time to read through them. But they're done with Biden, so they move on to the next one. And Kamala, she doesn't have any power to tell them no. She can't tell the great Obama, I don't want David Plouffe in my campaign. I don't want O'Malley Dillon. I don't want your people. I'm running my own show. This is Hope and Change 2.0. No, it's just another Obama attempt. Oh, Jen Palmieri, she comes up in that article. I have the names highlighted. She was there with Clinton in 2016. She goes and she works with Obama. Jake Sullivan, too. You'd think Kamala, after seeing what they just did to Joe Biden, would be a little more hesitant, a little more skeptical to say, bring all those Biden people right back in, or bring all those Obama people right back in. Kamala, she has a problem. She can't retain staff. I think it's something like 90% turnover on her staff. So they bring in the Obama boys who will never leave. They can't leave. They all rent their homes and buy their homes just a mile away from the White House. I had a little section here just providing some more detail about, you know, the behind the scenes of forcing Joe Biden out. And everybody knows it was Barack Obama. This Politico was asking one of Biden's campaign staffers, Anita Dunn, what we have reported and others have reported is that the most significant players in this were Hakeem Jeffries, talking about pushing Biden out, Hakeem Jeffries, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and Barack Obama. How difficult was it to be in the White House and watch those four leaders of the Democratic Party try and push Joe Biden out? Obama is running, and like we've said, he is losing power. He's losing that influence, and you can tell that still in just how desperate these propaganda machines are behaving. They're all saying the same thing. Kamala's great. Kamala's wonderful. Kamala's awesome. All hail Kamala. It just sounds weak and it sounds desperate, and they won't talk about the economy anymore. They won't talk about policy like they always say. We got to get back to talking about policy. Trump won't talk about policy. Well, what's Kamala? Joy. Just joy. That cackle, it's just joy. That's all Kamala brings. Joy back into politics. All right, well, like I said, we pre-recorded today's show just a bit in advance. We wanted to play this promotion that we made. We produced this a couple of months ago. It's a promotion for America Under Attack, and the goal is to get it to possibly air on TV just to promote the book in a different way. Mr. Fleury said to go ahead and use it on the Trumpet Daily just to test it out on the internet and on our Rumble channel. So the second half of today's show will be that promotion we made for America Under Attack. I narrated that, so sorry, you have to keep listening to my voice. So we'll play that after a quick promo. If you have any comments for the show, you can send those to td@thetrumpet.com.
The greatest nation on the planet is under attack.
This is an organized, planned, and deliberate attack on the sovereignty of the United States.
This isn't something that they didn't foresee happening. This is on purpose.
This is by design.
The people who run our country are destroying it, and they're doing it on purpose.
Do you really think our country is being destroyed?
They want to remake this country.
I've never lived through a period like this.
America is under attack. The greatest, wealthiest, most powerful nation in world history has become radicalized, divided, and weak. You see it in the government, the economy, entertainment, in the schools, and on the streets. Can America fix itself? Politicians and pundits offer answers, but these problems cannot be overcome unless they address the real cause. Few speak out, but fewer understand the real cause behind the attack on America. Are you sure you know? ...2023 was the worst year ever for America's border. There was a 40% increase in encounters at the southwest border compared to 2021.
We immediately surged to the border. All those people are seeking asylum. They deserve to be heard. That's who we are. We're a nation that says if you want to flee and you're fleeing oppression, you should come.
Since Biden took office, there have been 7.5 million encounters with illegal aliens nationwide. This doesn't count those that got in unknown.
The most obvious example of the attack on America is the invasion at the border, and this is a crisis entirely of our own making.
Well, the goal of a border is the same as having a door in your home. You don't just leave everything open and whoever wants to come in. Even if you assume that all of these people they're just looking for opportunity and freedom and a better life, that's fine. You still have to control it.
Those seeking to enter are not mostly families. 63% of those apprehended at the border in 2023 were single. Over 300 individuals stopped at the border were on the terror watch list.
For leaders to say that anyone who is concerned about what is happening at the border is racist, is white supremacist, is extremely disingenuous. To say that anyone would want to protect their own family and to keep them safe from what could very well be very dangerous elements, this is just a matter of basic responsibility.
In 2023 alone, the U.S. Customs and Border Protection seized over 27,000 pounds of fentanyl coming across the southwest border, enough to kill more than 6 billion people.
The attack on America isn't just at our border. Even beyond our border, America is facing assault.
On August 30th, 2021, the United States surrendered to the Taliban by completing its humiliating withdrawal from Afghanistan. After spending more than $2 trillion in 20 years, Joe Biden ordered the military to simply walk away.
I'm here to announce the completion of our withdrawal from Afghanistan.
The United States has been humbled today.
The hard reality is we lost.
The way the withdrawal happened in Afghanistan in 2021, and with the whole world watching, I mean, what a spectacle. And to not delay it a little bit or to make sure there would be a smooth transition of power, to just hand it over to the Taliban, to leave all of that military hardware behind, and then to see, you know, for people to see, you know, Afghanis hanging for dear life on these planes that were leaving Afghanistan, or to see all of the military armaments that America left behind, or to see the Taliban just basically taking over Kabul and taking over the country, and people, you know, just ordinary citizens there screaming for their lives. And the show, I mean, from America's standpoint, for the whole world to see just how weak and pathetic America was on the world stage, they watched, they learned, and now you see these explosions in the world all over the place as the aggressors are taking, they're rushing to fill the void left by the United States of America, whether it's in the Middle East or Ukraine or wherever.
There is fear, confusion, and anger as the sun rises on Tuesday morning in Kabul. And now so many questions about how the Taliban was able to take over the entire country and this quickly.
We are coming on the air because the war in Ukraine has begun. We may be witnessing now what is the beginning of the bloodiest conflict in Europe since World War II.
Israel caught off guard after the largest and deadliest escalation of violence in decades. Rockets and airstrikes continue to rain down on Israel and Gaza after a day of shock, death, and destruction.
New tensions between the world's largest military superpowers, the United States and China. At issue, the latest military moves here in the Strait of Taiwan between the island and China.
One of the world's top trading routes, the Suez Canal, is essentially closed for business to many shipping companies. That's because Houthi militia in Yemen have been attacking ships in response to Israel's war in Gaza.
Joe Biden doesn't really have a handle on the way the world is going. And so the question is, how worried are they that the world seems to be spinning a little bit too much out of control?
U.S. intelligence agencies were created to protect America's interests and maintain global stability, or so we thought. Evidence now reveals the experience gained and tools used by U.S. intelligence agencies operating in foreign theaters are now used to target American citizens illegally.
People have put an enormous amount of trust in these tech companies. We've entrusted them with all of our information. We've entrusted them to essentially to be the guarantors for free speech and the free flow of information and the ability to speak the truth on a number of topics. What we have come to see, what we've come to recognize, is that these companies have an enormous amount of power to silence and suppress anything that they disagree with. If they don't like your views, they can just turn you off, essentially, which is a phenomenal power. If you don't like gender reassignment surgery, then that's hate speech. If you feel like there's a problem with vaccines, that's misinformation. If you think elections are rigged, you know, that is treasonous. That cannot be tolerated. And when did that happen? You go back and you look at it, and it was during the Obama years.
The border crisis, America's failed foreign policy, and the weaponization of American intelligence agencies against its own people are just three examples of the attacks on American values and principles. As unrelated as they may seem, there is a common thread behind all of these attacks. And yet, the attack remains largely a mystery, as author of America Under Attack, Gerald Fleury, explains in his book.
America is under attack, but nobody really understands why. They don't understand the mystery. And today, well, we're going to solve that mystery. We have a booklet entitled America Under Attack. And I tell you, it is a sobering read, but everybody ought to be reading it.
Here is an in-depth explanation of the attack in just these three areas.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
In 2023, the Biden administration secretly flew over 320,000 immigrants to 43 different U.S. airports to reduce the number of crossings at the southwest border. It was done to conceal the scope of the problem. Why? This invasion is not an accident. It is by design.
Even without a border wall, there are laws in place that allow for, you know, the border agents at the southern border to secure the border. And Donald Trump was able to make, I think, 500 miles of a security barrier. But just the unrestricted flow of illegal immigrants, it was reduced way down during the Trump years. And then, I mean, if you just look at, you know, the two terms of Obama and just how he relaxed all the laws and people were coming in at a much higher pace, then it was curtailed during those 4 years of Donald Trump. And then, I mean, after that, it was just, you know, it's like the door was kicked wide open and we've just had millions of people come in just a short period of time.
I have a simple answer. Pass a bill.
In 2012, President Obama signed an executive order allowing undocumented immigrants who were brought to the United States as children to apply to stay in the country and get work permits. In 2014, Obama tried to offer work permits for illegal aliens if they were parents of children who were U.S. citizens, encouraging illegal aliens to cross the border and have children so they could stay. This was blocked by the courts and rescinded by President Trump. Now Obama's policy lives on through the Biden administration, and having failed with executive orders, the Obama-Biden team has decided to simply let as many people in as possible.
It is extremely clear, and it is more clear all the time, that anything that they say that is giving lip service to stopping immigration is purely for PR purposes. Because when you look at their actions, they are doing nothing to stop this. They are doing everything to encourage it. So this is not a matter of just not quite understanding the nature of the problem. This is clear, malevolent intent.
I've also directed my team to make a historic increase in the number of refugees admitted from Latin America.
During Biden's administration, there have been over 6,600 known border crossings per day, or 5 per minute. That amounts to more than the entire population of New Mexico every year. Fewer than half are deported, and those are just the known numbers. More are waking up to the fact that it is by design. But what is the purpose behind this plan?
I think it's part of the fundamental transformation, and yes, it's meant to destabilize America's institutions.
America is under attack at its border and abroad. The shameful and dishonorable departure from Afghanistan in 2021 was the worst foreign policy disaster in America's history. It was a deliberate, planned effort to destroy America's standing in the world.
The trumpet Gerald Fleury is saying from the very beginning, this is misguided. You know, when we go after the Taliban in 2002, late 2001, Gerald Fleury says, this is not going to end well. So the seeds for the disaster that followed were laid even before Barack Obama came to power. What happened when Obama came to power was that you had a force within the United States directing America's foreign policy that was completely pro-Iran. That had never happened before. There's a difference between not having the will to go after the real source of the problem in the Middle East, and that was driving America's foreign policy before that time.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning.
President Obama enacted a series of policies that wreaked havoc in the Middle East. In 2011, he helped oust Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak. He allowed America's outpost in Libya to be overrun by jihadis who killed a U.S. ambassador and several soldiers. Most importantly, he empowered the most extreme elements within the world's number one terrorist nation, Iran. He refused to support the people of Iran when they rose up in protest against their tyrannical leaders. And as the regime was crippled by economic sanctions, Obama threw it a lifeline. He authored the disastrous nuclear deal that gave Iran millions in cash and cleared a path for the nation to build nuclear weapons.
Today, after 2 years of negotiations, the United States, together with our international partners, has achieved something that decades of animosity has not: a comprehensive, long-term deal with Iran that will prevent it from obtaining a nuclear weapon.
Barack Obama is a creature of the third world, and he's most sympathetic to the most vicious, ugliest third world regimes that are out there.
I think veteran journalist Lee Smith put it best when I asked him, why would he reach out to Iran? Why would he try to help them build a nuclear bomb? And Smith said, because they're on the same team. I mean, they're helping each other. It's just a very different foreign policy than anything America has ever seen. And underpinning it all, again, is this hostility to America's, you know, founding principles and institutions.
In 2016, President Obama secretly sent a plane to deliver $400 million in cash, and on the same day, Iran released four American prisoners. The ransom payment was the first installment of a $1.7 billion agreement made by Obama, which included removing economic sanctions that froze billions more of Iran's money as part of his nuclear deal.
Well, what I think is interesting is you had a lot of people who were supportive of Obama early on in his administration. And as time went on, more and more people are asking, does this guy really know what he's doing? Does this guy really even have America's interests at heart? Like, it seems like he's actively trying to undercut what America's doing. And then when you get to the Afghanistan withdrawal, you reach a point where people are saying outright, you know, this is treachery. This is not just incompetence. These people want to undercut America's standing in the world. So there's this realization over a period of years that the Obama-driven policies are, that there's something evil about them, that there's something un-American about them.
One man was courageous enough to criticize Obama. Decorated war veteran General Michael Flynn was the director of the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency under Obama's administration. But when he criticized Obama's Middle East foreign policy, including the Iranian nuclear deal, he was forced into retirement. He was then appointed by then-President-elect Trump as National Security Advisor. This prompted Obama's FBI to open a counterintelligence investigation against Flynn in August 2016 in hopes of removing him to preserve Obama's legacy.
Barack Obama appointed him or promoted him to the position of Defense Intelligence Agency. So when he comes to Obama and he tells him the truth about ISIS, and Obama didn't like it, I mean, Obama was working for so many years to empower America's enemies, and General Flynn was a patriot, and so he basically got forced out by Obama And then toward the end of the second term for Obama, he cozies up with Donald Trump. And I think it was 2 days after Trump, you know, shocked the world by beating Hillary Clinton, one of the first bits of advice that Obama gave to Donald Trump was definitely don't hire General Flynn. So Trump went ahead and hired General Flynn, and with Obama's deep state, I mean, I don't want to get into all the various details, but they set things up to entrap General Flynn even really before Donald Trump was inaugurated. And then, of course, the meeting between the two FBI agents and General Flynn was, I think, a week or two after the inauguration there in 2017. You know, those agents said he didn't lie, but then, you know, they started to create a crime. And then General Flynn was forced to resign, and then he had to endure through a couple years of the Department of Justice going after him for lying to an agent and threatening his son.
General Flynn was forced to resign. 3 years later, the Justice Department dropped its case against Flynn after court documents revealed the case was a setup. The removal of Flynn not only protected Obama's foreign policy, it also removed a courageous leader who could have exposed how the intelligence agencies worked with media and tech companies to silence the government's critics.
Yeah, it is interesting that we have a lot of damning evidence of the because of Elon Musk taking over Twitter, and we got the dump of the Twitter files, just you know, sheaf after sheaf of all of this documentation of you know, direct requests from FBI agents to officials within Twitter saying publish this, silence this, you know, make sure that this person's account is canceled and so on.
What we learned on Friday is that big tech works aggressively and in secret with government agencies to subvert the outcome of what the rest of us assumed were free and fair elections.
An expose known as the Twitter files revealed that America's intelligence agencies colluded with American tech companies to censor American citizens criticizing the government and its policies. The very institutions created to protect its citizens were turned on its citizens. One of the most astounding examples was when Michelle Obama called for Twitter and Facebook to ban President Trump on January 7th, 2021. And on the next day, Trump, the sitting president of the United States, was banned.
Even now, it only goes back to post-Obama years. So you have to deduce at what point did you have federal agents making these kinds of, establishing these kinds of relationships with people inside Twitter. You know, there's nothing explicitly to show it, but it had to have occurred under Obama. It had to have been under Obama that these federal law enforcement and intelligence agencies were weaponized to accomplish these purposes within these private tech companies.
The whistleblower says the FBI directed agents to use counterterrorism measures to track parents critical of their school boards.
If you are a parent and you attend a school board meeting, there could be an FBI agent in the parking lot scribbling down your license plate number.
Protect trans kids!
Even ordinary citizens have been targeted. The Department of Justice asked the FBI to investigate and spy on parents opposing pornographic material in schools. Critics of U.S. COVID policies and of the integrity of elections were silenced. Worse, the intelligence agencies colluded with the media to impact the 2020 presidential election.
And I will faithfully execute
the Office of President of the United States.
Office of President of the United States.
And now we know, too, because Elon Musk purchased Twitter, and we see that, you want to talk about collusion. Here's the deep state, the DOJ, the FBI, having all of this contact with Twitter, Facebook, Zuckerberg, telling Zuckerberg, you know, hey, Russian disinformation is coming. This was right around the Hunter Biden laptop scandal, and that was all covered up, and 51 former intel agents signed a document saying it had all the hallmarks of Russian disinformation. And then when the New York Post blew the story or blew the whistle on Hunter's laptop, immediately Twitter, you know, banned their account, basically censored them and others.
This is just another attack on America. The rule of law and its principles of freedom are being destroyed. Powerful people are working to complete the transformation of the United States. But what can you do about it? First, you need to understand what's really behind this attack on the nation.
To think that if we just change the occupant of the White House, that this is all going to suddenly change is failing to understand the epic scale of what is really bringing America down. America under attack. What are we under attack from? This book really does explain it.
For nearly two decades, this country, America, has been under a direct attack from an invisible army in a special way. Now, that may sound a little strange to some people, but it's only strange if we don't know what's in our Bibles. It all is explained very clearly, very explicitly, in your own Bible.
You go back and you read America Under Attack from 2013. You know, you go back and you read articles that Gerald Flurry was writing about Barack Obama, even as early as 2008, and you see, well, there's something behind this. This is not incompetence. You know, he's giving this message well in advance. And even to this day, people are looking at the Obama-Biden foreign policy and they're saying, you know, these people they're trying to undercut the United States, but it does not recognize the spiritual dimension that Gerald Flurry has been talking about all along. And if you don't see that spiritual dimension, you don't really understand what is behind this, the thrust of all of their foreign policy decisions.
But it explains all this in stark detail where you can understand what is happening in America. Many people look at what's happening and say, well, they've never seen anything happen like this in America before. They've never seen it. Well, it's never been there before. I'm telling you, it hasn't ever been there before. This is something very different. And the only way we're ever going to understand it is to understand our Bibles. The greatest gift afforded by this earth. Indeed, it is.
America Under Attack is not aimed at, you know, one politician or one political party. It does expose evil, and there's a lot of it, and more people can see it. But there's an evil spirit behind it. If you recognize that and you see why that's happening, then America Under Attack really will answer, you know, every question you have with respect to why this is happening and what the solution is.
The spiritual and the prophetic view that informed America Under Attack. This is the underpinning of our ongoing coverage in our news magazine, The Philadelphia Trumpet. We're still writing about these things. We're still talking about these things. There's more information coming out all the time. I do hope that people will continue to follow the story that begins in America Under Attack. You know, read The Trumpet, keep up to date, because this story is just getting started.
To fully understand the transformation happening in America, request your free copy of Gerald Flurry's America Under Attack at AmericaUnderAttack.com. When you do, you will receive a free subscription of the Philadelphia Trumpet magazine. No cost, no obligation, and no shipping fees. Go to AmericaUnderAttack.com and order today.